Today she is Masechta Kedushin Daf Chaf Hei, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Hei Amar Aleph at the end of the second line. Says the Gemara, Sabay de Nuzyayna, the elders of the city of Nuznaya, by also the Prikkah of Rav Chisda did not come to the Shear of Rav Chisda. Amlai le Rav Hamnuna, so Rav Chisda told Rav Hamnuna, Zil Tsarina. Tup shot him in the Mepharshim. One shot Zil Tsarina means go put them into Chayrim for refusing to attend the Shear. Other Mepharshim say that Zil Tsarina means go and teach them how to act properly. Go and teach them that the proper way, the tzniyistic way, is for a person to attend the shir that's being given. And as the Mepharshim explained, the reason it's so important to attend the shir, even for people who are able to learn themselves, is because other people who cannot and will not learn at that time by themselves will learn the lesson of not coming to the shir and will miss out. And therefore teach them that the tznius requires that they attend. So he went and told them, "My tamloyos rabbanu l'pirka, why have you not come to the shir?" Amulei, so they said to him, "Amai nesi, why should we come? To be in a minay milsa, we ask him questions, v'loy pashalon, and he doesn't answer us." Amulhu, so Rav Hamnuna said to them, "Mi beisu minoy midi, have you ever asked me anything, v'loy pashitin l'chu, and I haven't answered for you?" So the Ben Yoda tries to explain this dialogue. They're complaining that they ask Rav Chisda questions, and Rav Chisda doesn't respond. So how is Rav Hamnuna answering them? "Well, did you ever ask me anything, and I didn't respond?" What does that have to do with their concern that Rav Chisda is not answering their questions? So he explains that the Rav Hamnuna, as we know in the times of Chazal, the way shiurim were delivered was that the person said the shir, and there was a meturgeman who would be the spokesperson to say the shir. And Rav Hamnuna was the spokesperson for Rav Chisda in saying the shir. And their complaint, he explains, was that Rav Chisda would just answer them, when they would ask a question, he would just answer them, mutter, asr, kasha, treif, without giving an explanation. And they said, "We are people who are Talmidei Chachamim, and therefore when we ask a question, we deserve that the question be answered in greater detail than just a yes or no answer." So Rav Hamnuna took it upon himself, as the meturgeman, that in the future, when a question will be asked by them, he won't just give them, in the name of Rav Chisda, a yes or no answer. He will take Rav Chisda's answer and explain it. And the Rivash explains that Rav Hamnuna would be allowed to do that. It wouldn't be considered that a Talmud was speaking in the place of his Rebbe, because Rav Hamnuna was a Talmud chaver of Rav Chisda, and therefore it would be permissible for him to act in that way. So now that Rav Hamnuna has agreed to answer the questions, they ask him a question. They ask him, "Eved shesirsa rabba bebeim, Eved whose owner emasculated him by his beitzim, by his testicles, mahu, what is the locha? Is it considered kemum shebegoli dami? Is it considered like an explosed mum, which we explained in the previous year, then the Eved is released? Or loy, is it not considered, since they're not visible, the beitzim, it's not considered a mum shebegoli? But you have a biyadei." So Rav Hamnuna was not able to answer. Amaloy, so they asked him, "Mashmach, what is your name?" Amaloy Hamnuna. So he said, "My name is Hamnuna." Amaloy, so they said to him, "Lav Hamnuna el Karnuna. Hamnuna is not the proper name, rather Karnuna is the proper name." And as Rashi explains, Karnuna comes from the word Yoshvei Kronis. You're not a Talmud Chacham. You're not able to answer our question. Taisa says what they meant to say was that fish, or at least certain fish, are more tasty when they're eaten warm rather than when they're eaten cold. And they said to him was, "You're not like a warm fish, which is tasty. You're kar hanuna, you're a cold fish, you're not that tasty. Asla kamei Rav Chisda. So now Rav Hanuna approaches Rav Chisda, Amrei, and he tells him what happened. And Rav Chisda tells Rav Huna, Rav Hanuna, masnisa baminach. What they actually asked you is a subject that's discussed in a Mishnah. The Tanan, it says in the Mishnah, Esrin v'aber roshi avarim shabodim, the 24 limbs by a person, kulam ematam mishamichya. If there's a tzaras on any of these roshi avarim, it doesn't become tamid because of tzaras. The Torah teaches us that if somebody has a discoloration of a tzaras, that doesn't necessarily make it be considered a nega that's tamei. What also must be there is a michya. A michya is a spot of healthy skin. And the halacha is that in order for it to be tamei, it has to be in a place that can be seen in one glance. Since the tips of these limbs slope away in different directions, so they cannot be seen in their entirety at once, and therefore they're not susceptible to tumah. And actually, as the Rishonim explain, it's not just to tumah's michya that they're not susceptible. They're not susceptible to tumah's tzaras either. But since they explain that the shear of tumah of a michya is larger in size than the shear of tumah of a tzaras, the Mishnah chose to speak about a michya rather than speaking about a tzaras. Velahein, what are these 24 Rashi Avarim? Rashi, it's Parashi Dayan Reglaim, the tips of the fingers and the toes. Rashi is nine, the tips of the ears. Rashi Chartim, the tip of the nose. Rashi Gvia, Rashi Danish Beisha, tips of a woman's breasts. Yudam Afshabish, also by a man. There's a Machlaikis Rishonim that this Mishnah enumerates 24 Rashi Avarim that aren't susceptible to Tumah. And the Rambam seems to learn these are the same Rashi Avarim that if the owner were to remove them, the Eved goes free. Tysus Rid seems to learn that although this Mishnah represents these 24 Rashi Avarim, it's not to say that this is the din only by the 24 Rashi Avarim. The same din would apply also by any of the places, and this actually we'll see in the Gemara later, any of the places that a Bechor becomes a Balmum. V'tanelah, and we continue learning in the Braisa, an explanation of this Mishnah, B'kulon, regarding all of these places, Eved Yotz B'Melcheres, Rabbi Yoma Afa Sirus. Rabbi adds that Sirus is also a reason for Eved to go out. Rabbi Azay Omer, Ben Azay says, Afalosh. Says the Gemara, Amamar, to understand this Braisa, Rebbe Yom Afa Sirus. Rebbe speaks about Sirus. What does he mean when he says Sirus? Sirus to my. Elam is Sirus to good. If the entire Gid was removed, Hainu Gviya. That's the situation of the Rosh HaGviya, which the Mishnah clearly mentions as one of the Chavdal Rosh Yavarim. Elalaf, it must be Sirus to Beitzim. And Rebbe is clearly teaching us that Sirus to Beitzim causes, is a reason for Eved to go out. The Achloinim ask that we know to be Masaris a person is a lav. The Pasuk says, Uba'atzchem loisasu. It's a is a lav to do it. So they ask, we know that if somebody does an Aveira for which there's Malkus and a Chiyav Mammon, Kimlein B'Dirabine dictates that we only give Malkus. So in this situation, if somebody was misaris someone else, he's chayiv for the lava ba'atzchem loisasu. So why would the slave go out? So the Ein Yitzchak answers that one is only being considered doing the lav of sirus if he was misaris both beitzim. But for an eved to go out, even if only one beitza was misaris, the eved doesn't go out. So now we could understand. One Beitza was Masuris. There is no Chiv Lav, but the Eved goes out. The Amakna, gives a different, two different answers. One answer he says is that sometimes seiros could be done even if it didn't involve in the direct action of the of a person being misaros another person. If a person, if somebody put his eved into a place that's very cold or very hot, it could cause seiros, but it's not a direct act of seiros, and therefore there's no malchus, only mamon. The Makna gives another teretz. He says that the Gemara says in Masechta Ksubos, although we just explained Kimlei B'Drabanei dictates that if somebody does an Aveira for which there's a Chiv Malkus and there's a Chiv Mammon, we give him Malkus, there's an exception to that rule, the Gemara says in Masechta Ksubos, that if somebody was Chayvel someone else, if somebody damaged somebody else, if somebody damaged someone else, he has to pay Nezek Tzar Ripu Shevus Abayshus and he doesn't get Malkus. Says the Hamakna, the same is in this situation. Being misaris someone else, being misaris an Evid, and it also involves that the Evid should go free. So even though normally Malkus is given before Mammon, here the going free is like for the payment of Chavala, which supersedes the Chiv Malkus. So now the Gemara analyzes the Brisa that we just quoted. Rebbe Omer Afasiris. Rebbe says that Siris is considered a situation of Rashi Avarim. It seems the Rebbe does not agree with Ben Azai that speaks about the Lashon. The Rebbe Lashon Loi, according to Rebbe, if somebody damaged the tongue of someone else, that's not considered a reason to go out. For many, Harei Mi Shoyimaza. We know that if somebody becomes Tamei, the Lacha is that we have to sprinkle upon him the mechatas. The mechatas have to touch a person's body. So says Rebbe, what will be the din of Nitzah Azor Piv, if the mechatas hit his mouth? Rebbe Oima, Hizo. It's considered as if it touched him. The Chum Oimrim, the Chum disagree, and they say, Eloi Hizo. It's not considered as if it hit his body. My lav, isn't Rebbe referring to Lashonoi, to his tongue? And yet, Rebbe is saying that the Lashon is considered as if something touches the Lashon, the tongue, it's as if it hit the body. Says the Gemara, Loi. Rebbe wasn't talking about the Lashon. It could well be that Rebbe holds that the Lashon is not considered one of an exposed part of the body. What he meant was the svasov, the lips. Affecting moral svasov, do I need Rebbe to tell us that the lips are considered an exposed part of the body? Pshita, of course they're exposed. Answers the Gemara, maritime zimna the chums for sake. Sometimes a person keeps his lips entirely closed and they're not therefore considered exposed. Kamash malam, that's why Rebbe has to teach us that they are considered exposed. For Tanya asked the Gemara, but there's a Braisa that clearly says the Rebbe considers it al l'shoinai, that his tongue is considered an exposed part. Furthermore, for Tanya, there's another Braisa that speaks about what is considered a mum, that a bechor is no longer brought on the carbon as a carbon, and it says v'shenitol roi v'aloshin, if most of the tongue is removed. And Rebbe explains, Rav Hamadabibul Shonai, not even most of the tongue has to be removed, but if most of the part of the tongue that moves, that you could see, it's already considered by mum. So obviously Rebbe holds the tongue is considered an exposed organ. So how could we understand the Braisa that seems to explain that only Ben Azai considers the tongue an exposed organ, not Rebbe? Ella, says the Gemara, the way we need to understand the Brice is as follows. Rebbe, I'm a Siris. Rebbe holds that Siris is considered a mum that frees an Eved for Loimi by Lashon. And certainly a Lashon, a mum in the Lashon, frees the Eved. Ben Azai says Lashon. Lashon indeed is a mum that frees an Eved. Ava Siris Loi, not Siris. What does Ben Azai mean when he says the word Af? He means Akamaisa. He's going back to the beginning. That the Braisa listed the 24 Rashi Avarim comes along Ben Azai and said that add to the list the Lashon. But he doesn't agree to the Siris. Ask the Gemara, Yachi, if this is the way to understand the Braisa. The Rebbe holds that both Lashon and Sirus are mum. And Ben Azai holds that only Lashon is a mum, Nikdamid Ben Azai Bereisha. It would make sense. The first, we should have the opinion of the Tanakhama, the list, the 24 Rosh Yavarim. Then we should have the opinion of Ben Azai that adds the Lashon. And then we should have the opinion of Rebbe that not only adds the Lashon, but even adds Sirus. The order of the Brice is somewhat difficult to understand. Says the Gemara, the way to understand the Brice is as follows. Tana Shamal the Rebbe. The Tana heard the Tanakhama's opinion about the Chavdal Rosh Yavarim. Then he heard the opinion of Rebbe that added the Sirus Eloshin. And then the cover, and he made it part of the text of the Brisa. And then Shamal the Ben Azai. And then he heard Ben Azai's opinion. The Tani. And that's how he kept it. The Tana, or Mishnah, was also Mekoyma. So as the Mefarshim explained, by right, the Tana, who heard Ben Azai's opinion, should have inserted Ben Azai's opinion between the position of the Tanakhama and the opinion of Rebbe. But as we know, in the times of Chazal, Torah was learnt, Torah Shabbateh. People didn't learn it inside, and they had to memorize it. And once they memorized it in a certain way, Chazal did not want to change the way they learnt it. And therefore, even though properly it would be that Ben Azai's opinion should precede in being recorded the opinion of Rebbe, they didn't want to change what they already had because the Talmidim had learnt it in that fashion. The Gemara now will continue speaking about the tongue in halacha, so to speak. Ula, hakam moedim b'loshin. Everybody agrees regarding the tongue, linyan tuma, that regarding tuma, the goy who eats all sherets, that if a sherets touches the tongue, the halacha is that the person is considered tuma, as if in any situation where the tongue, where a person is touched by tuma. My tama, asher yigba am rachmana. The Torah says that if the sherets touches you, you're tuma. Certainly the tongue is an organ that can be touched. Linyan tefillah, as far as tefillah is concerned, that when a person goes to the mikvah, the halacha is all of him has to be getoveled, all of him has to be immersed, getamendami. The tongue is considered like a part that's not exposed and doesn't require tefillah. My tama, v'rochetz b'sar b'mayo am rachmana. The Torah speaks about Basara. What are the qualifications? Ma Basar Bavroi, just like his flesh is exposed, Afkol Mavroi, all things that are exposed, and the tongue is not considered exposed. And like Rashi asked, you could stick out part of your tongue, so that part should be considered exposed. So Rashi says, Daloch is ain't foilach tsoim. If you can't, and it's not easy to be immersed the entire organ, then you don't have to immerse any part of the organ. Taisus Rosh takes a different approach, comes to the same conclusion. The Taisus Rosh says that the pshat is that any organ that can't be completely exposed is not considered, as far as Hilchos Tefillah, as an exposed organ. By Nechalku, the machloikus between Rebbe and Rabbanan is regarding Hazor. That if somebody sprinkles water on a person who's tamei, will he become tahor if the hazor water hits his tongue? Rebbe Madam Lele Tama. Rebbe says just like he becomes tamei with the tongue, he becomes tahor with the tongue. Rabbanan Madam Lele Tefila, just like the tongue doesn't have to be immersed, neither if the mei hazor touches the tongue, will the person become tahor. The tavayu. And both Rebbe and the Rabbanan, says the Gemara, Bahai Krakam Ifgi, are arguing on over how to understand the following pasuk. The pasuk says, V'hizar hator alatomei. And that's the pasuk that speaks about Hazor. Rebbe Savot, V'hizar hator alatomei, B'yoy Mashlishi, B'yoy Mashvi V'chitai. So since the Torah puts together the Hizar hator, the Torah puts together the Tumah with the Tahara, if a person can become Tumah this way, he holds he can become Tahara that way too. Rabbanan, on the other hand, say, the Pasuk says, V'chitta b'yoyim ha'shvi, V'chir v'yis b'godof, V'rochet b'sar b'mayim. since the pasuk puts the tahara together with the tefillah, and since the halacha, as we just learned, is that the tongue doesn't have to be immersed, so too is the tongue not an area where the hazar water will cause the person to become tar. Ask the Gemara, Rabbanan Nami, why don't Rabbanan Nidmai Lutuma? Why don't Rabbanan say that just like a person can become Tomei if his tongue is touched by his sheretz, so too he should become Tahor if the Mei Hazor touch his tongue? Answers the Gemara, Rabbanan says Tahar Matahar Vilam Elef. It makes more sense to learn the halacha of Mei Hazor from the halachas of Tvila. They both speak about purification. So if Tvila doesn't apply to the tongue, neither do the Mei Hazor apply to the tongue. Rebbe, and according to Rebbe, not Mila Tvila, why doesn't he compare it to Tvila, just like the Rabbanan did? And for the Gemara, the Chibas Begodov, the Torah put the word V'chibas Begodov in between V'chit of Yom Shvi V'rach V'mayim, Hifzak Inyan, to say that Hazor and Tvila do not travel together, and Tvila doesn't apply to the tongue, but Hazor can be applied to the tongue. Says the Gemara, V'savar Rebbe, does Rebbe indeed hold the Linyan Tfila Ketamindami, that the tongue is considered a part of the body that's inside the body, like the Beis Astorim, and is not subject to Tfila? Ask the Gemara, V'amaravan Amarav Ada Amar Rebbe Yitzchak, Maisa B'shechesh Beis Rebbe. There was a story with the maid in the home of Rebbe, Shetavlova also, she went to the mikveh and then she came out of the mikveh, Venint etzem beshanel, and she found a bone between her teeth, Vetzricha Rebbe tefila acheres, and Rebbe said that she needs to have another tefila. So we see that the tongue, that the teeth, even though they're inside, the water has to hit the teeth, certainly they should have to also hit the tongue. And even though the Rishonim do point out that how do we bring a raya from the teeth to the tongue, we know shein is considered more of an exposed organ than the tongue. Since it's in the body, it should all be the same. Answers the Gemara, ne demiyas mayim labinon, the tongue, the inside the mouth, does not have to be immersed, but it has to be an area that mokam haroi lovaboy mayim binon. It has to be a place where water could come. As Reb Zeira teaches us, Don Reb Zeira, kol haroi labila, ein bila makeves ba, Reb Zeira says this concept regarding a Karban Mincha. The Torah speaks about a Karban Mincha that various ingredients are brought. Ubalal, those ingredients should be mixed together. However, Reb Zeira teaches us that the mixing of those ingredients is really not absolutely essential, and one doesn't have to mix the ingredients together for the Karban to be kosher. However, the vessel in which these ingredients were brought was a vessel in which 60 isarim could easily be mixed together. Says Reb Zeira, if somebody donates a carbon of 61 isarim, so now we have too much to mix in one vessel, the halacha is that we don't bring that carbon. That the carbon is disqualified, it has to be brought in two vessels. So what Rebbe is saying is, kol haroi labila, where mixing could be accomplished, ain't bila makeves ba, we don't have to actually mix together. Ish ain't roi labila, but where bila cannot be accomplished, bila makeves ba, then it's a problem. Here too, we don't have to have that the mikveh, we don't have to have immersion in the mouth, the teeth, the tongue. However, we have to potentially be able to have it. And therefore, if there's a chatzitza in the mouth, there's a bone between the teeth, it would disqualify the tefillah. The Rishonim discuss this concept that Reb Zeira says, kol haroi labila bila makeves ba, because ein roi labila ein bila makeves ba. The Rishonim asks, do we know that as far as Hilchos Kotshim are concerned, the din is as follows. If the Torah says a din only once, it's ein ma'akev, it's not absolutely essential. If the Torah says a din more than once, then it becomes absolutely essential. And bila is actually mentioned more than once. So why is it indeed that it's not ma'akev, that you don't have to actually do it? So I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz is that even though the Torah speaks about bila more than once, The Torah never says it in a wording that expresses that it must be done. The Torah speaks about it as part of the procedure. And therefore, the rule that anything that's repeated more than once means it must be done doesn't apply. Another teretz is that even though the Ritva suggests this teretz, that even though it's mentioned more than once, but there's a halach l'moshe m'Sinai, that even though it's mentioned more than once, and even though normally any din that's mentioned more than once, makabai, it becomes absolutely essential, this is an exception to this, to that rule, and it's not makif. Another teretz that the Rishonim suggest is that even though the din is mentioned more than once, every time the pasuk mentions it, there's a purpose to learn from that pasuk other than the din of Bila, and therefore Bila is not ma'akif. The Mefarshim go on to discuss. The Mefarshim go on to discuss that even though we're learning that there should be no chatzitza in the mouth, the Paiskim draw a distinction between a chatzitza on the rest of the body and a chatzitza in the mouth. The halacha is that if a woman has to go to the mikveh, she has to examine her body before she goes to the mikveh to make sure there's no chatzitza. Let's say she goes to the mikveh without doing that examination. Even if she comes out of the mikveh and finds herself to be absolutely clean, she has to go to the mikveh again. However, regarding a chatzitza in the mouth, of course, the proper thing is that before someone goes to the mikveh, they should examine inside their mouth if there are any chatzitzas. But if somebody went to the mikveh without having examined inside the mouth, and then after they come out the mikveh, they check inside the mouth, and they recognize that there are no chatzitzas, the halacha is they do not have to immerse themselves again. The Paiskim also go on to say that this concept of kol haroi labila is a concept that we find many times, in halacha. One example I saw is that let's say somebody is sleeping and he's the 10th person for a minyan. The halacha is since he could be woken up, he could be included in the minyan. And we have this in other places too. The machlokes is, can we rely on this concept even l'chatchila or just b'diavad? The Prima Gadim seems to learn that we can rely on the concept of kol haroi labila even l'chatchila. Tas seems to say that we can rely on it only b'diavad. Says the Gemara, this subject that we have been discussing about Sirus being a mum or not being a mum is actually, suggests the Gemara, a machlokes ketanoi. And as the Mefarshim explained, even though we've already established that it's a machlokes of Rebbe and Ben Azai, the Gemara is now bringing another braisa, because in this braisa we get introduced to the opinion of Rebbe Yossi. The pasuk says a moch v'kosus v'nosus v'karus karus. Any animal that has squashed, crushed, torn, or severed gid should not be brought as a mizbeach. Says the Gemara, kumah beitzim. They all are if they are the beitzim. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Ask the Gemara be beitzim. Does this only apply when they're on the beitzim for loy begid and not on the actual aver? Says the Gemara, ela kulon afa beitzim. Certainly, if this is the status of the gid, the animal is a balmum. But further, even if it's just the beitzim, they are also considered a balmum. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, kulam begid. Only the gid, if this is the status of the gid, is the animal considered a balmum, nothing else. Rabbi Yossi makes the following distinction. Moch v'kosas, squashed and crushed, afabayim, even not just the gid, but even the beitzim, it's considered a balmum. Nosus v'karis, torn and severed, begid in, is considered a mum by the gid, beitzim loy, but not by the beitzim. And this sort of in-between position is the reason why it was brought in our, why the Gemara brought down this braisa to teach us all of these different opinions. Our Mishnais and our Perek have discussed the different ways of doing a kinyan in a person. And as the Pnei Yeshua explains, first there's an order to the Mishnayos of our parak. First, the Mishnayos discuss how human beings can be nikna. Then the Mishnayos go on to discuss how people can be, how animals can be nikna, the subject of our current Mishnah. And then we go on to non-living things. We speak about property and metaltin. Says the Mishnah, Behei Magasa, Niknas from Masira. Behei Magasa could be Nikna by handing it over. Bagdaka, and Behei Magdaka is Bagbal. Divrei, Remei Rebelezer. And as the Rishonim explain, and as we become more evident as we begin the Gemara, as we learn the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, certainly Hagbah is considered the most preferable way of doing a kinyan. However, the opinion of Remei and Rebelezer is that a behemoth, an animal, since it's difficult to do Hagbah, Mesira will also work. And here we have a very fundamental machlaikis of Rashi and Tosfos, what is the pshat in our Mishnah? Because as we're going to learn, there's a kinyan which is known as Mesira, where the owner transferring the animal by giving over the rein of the animal from the owner to the seller. And we're also going to learn in a moment about a kinyan Meshicha, which is accomplished by pulling or drawing the animal from the seller to the buyer. Rashi's opinion is that Mesira is a stronger form of kinyan than Meshicha. And therefore, Ramei and Rabbi Lezer teach us that the animal that we just explained, that it's difficult to do Hagbah with, we can do Mesira. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos actually holds that Meshicha is a stronger form of kinyan than Mesira, and our Mishnah is teaching us that by the animal, we were not requiring Hagbah. Not only are we not requiring Hagbah, but we're also not going to require Meshicha. Even Mesira would work, but Meshicha is certainly better. The Pnei Yeshua does have an interpretation of Rashi, that Rashi isn't explaining, isn't disagreeing with Tosfos. But again, Tosfos clearly himself learned that Rashi is in disagreement with him. And in fact, the basis for the disagreement between Rashi and Tosfos, Tosfos and many Mefarshim seem to feel, is on how Mesira is indeed accomplished. Rashi says that for Mesira to be done, it has to be given miyad liyad, from one person's hand into another person's hand. Tosfos doesn't require miyad liyad. So perhaps that's the explanation of the machlokes. Rashi learns that Mesira involves miyad liyad, which makes it a very strong form of kinyan, and that's why Rashi learns that Mesira is a stronger form of kinyan than Meshicha. Tosfos, on the other hand, learns that yad liyad is not required, and that's why Mesira is a weaker form of kinyan. In fact, there's a Ramah that wants to suggest that there are two types of Mesira. Sometimes miyad liyad, and that Mesira will be stronger than Meshicha, and then there's not miyad liyad, where that Mesira will be weaker than Meshicha. Furthermore, there's a machlokes rishonim, exactly where does Mesira get done, and where does Meshicha get done. Meshicha works only in a simta, in a place that's accessible to everybody, or in a place or chatzah that doesn't belong neither to the buyer or the seller. What the halacha is regarding Mesira, the Rashbam holds that just the Mesira only works in a place that is not a simta and is a place that belongs to both of them. And therefore, according to the Rashbam, Meshicha and Mesira are very different. However, many Rishonim suggest that even though, as we just said, everybody agrees that Meshicha is only in a simta or a chatzer that belongs to both of them, Mesira could work in all types of areas. The Chamayim continues the Mishnah, the Behei Medaka, Niknas for Meshicha, the Chamayim hold that Meshicha should be done the Chum hold that Mashiach can be done, and again they hold that since animals are difficult to do Hadbra on, they say that it should be done by Mashiach. Again, according to the opinion of Rashi, that Mesira is stronger form of Kinyan than Mashiach, they'll hold that Mesira is also doable. According to Tysus, however, who holds that Mashiach is a stronger form of Kinyan than Mesira, it could well be that according to Tysus, the halacha will be that Mashiach can be done on this Behemoth Daka, but Mesira cannot be done. The Mefarshim ask, why isn't every Mashiach a form of Mesira? And that if Mesira is doable, the Mashiach should be doable. So certainly, if we explain that Mesira doesn't require Miyad Liyad, and Mashiach does, we could understand. Another tenet that the Rishonim suggest is that if the person said, I strictly want Mashiach, or I strictly want Mesira to be the form of Kinyan, any other form of Kinyan would just not do. Dorish Rabbi B'Kuchunayah. Rav spoke in Kumchanayah. He said, Behem Gasa Niknas for Mashiach. Behem Gasa is done by Mashiach. Ashkechinu Shmuel Tamidah de Rav. So Shmuel met these Tamidim of Rav. And Amalu, when he asked him, Mi Amar Rav, Behem Niknas for Mashiach, the Rav said, Behem Gasa. Mashiach affects the Kinyan for Nan, but we just learned in our Mishnah, Mesira Tanan. For Rav, Nami Mesira Amma. We also heard Rav say clearly the Mesira works. Says the Gemara. And so he asked, Hadbe Ramehi, the Rav retract from his original position? Says the Gemara, Hudamakai Tana. Rav was saying his statement according to the following Tana. Tanya, V'chom Ma'imrim, Zu V'zu Niktus Mashiach, that animals are Nikna B'Mashiach, and that was the opinion that Rav was reflecting. Rav Shimon Oimer Zuvazu Bagba, that the only form of Kinyan that will work is Hagbah. Maskul Rav Yosef. So now Rav Yosef asks, according to Rav Shimon, that the only form of Kinyan that will work is Hagbah, El Ma'ata Pil L'Rav Shimon Bar Yikna. How can we do Hagbah on an elephant? Such a large animal, obviously it's difficult to be lifted. Amalei Abaya, so Abaya said, the way to do a Kinyan for an elephant is b'chalipin. We do a Kinyan chalipin. And as the Rishonim point out, from here we see that chalipin is not to be considered a form of kesef or shtar, because kesef or shtar, as we see from our Mishnah, and we know, cannot be nikna, cannot be koina, an animal. So must be the chalipin is a new independent form of Kinyan. Inami, b'soicher es mekoimai. Another way of doing it is by renting the place on which the animal stands, and by renting the space on which the animal stands, we have a Kinyan chatzah. There's actually a machloikus rishonim, what kind of Kinyan we have, b'soicher es mekoimai. Most Rishonim, as we just said a moment ago, consider it a Kinyan Chatzah. However, the Bali Iter says that a Kinyan Chatzah cannot work if someone is only renting the property on which he wants to do the Kinyan. And therefore, the Bali Iter says, if the Gemara says, Soicher Mekoimai, it cannot be a Kinyan Chatzah, it will have to be a Kinyan Agav. Although, there are, the Beis HaLevi wants to suggest, that when can somebody not do a Kinyan Chatzar if he's only renting the property? That's if he's doing a Kinyan from somebody who owns the property. That means if I rent the property, and I want to do a Kinyan on an item in this property, and I'm buying it from the person who owns the property, then a Kinyan Chatzar would not be helpful. But the Beis HaLevi wants to suggest, that let's say I'm renting a property, and I want to use this property for a Kinyan Chatzar, to do a Kinyan from someone who isn't the owner of this property, even he will agree that a Kinyan Chatzar, that then a Kinyan Chatzar would be acceptable. The Mefarshim also discuss the following shaila. The halacha is that if somebody gives a get to another, to his wife, so there are paiskim that suggest that the get should be folded up, and like that the get is given to the person. Let's wait with this far. Rav Zeir Amar, Revir Abba Caleb, we bring four vessels, Omanichan Tachas Raglav, and we put them under the animal's feet, and that's how we have a Kinyan Chatzar. So here we have a question, as I was about to say, that the Paiskim will say that when a get is given to a wife, the get should be folded, so that the entire get should be able to be deposited in the hand of the wife. So the question here is, why, if the animal stands on top of four kalim, so most of the animal is not on the chatzur, why is that considered a kinyan chatzur? And in fact, the Avni Nezer suggests that even though the Nesivus holds that for kinyan chatzur to be effective, everything that I'm being koina has to be in that chatzur. From here we have a rai, he wants to suggest that that is not the din. But then he himself says, since we know that this is the opinion of the Nesivus, and the well-accepted opinion of the Nesivus, it must be that these kalim that the animal is standing on are large kalim, and since they're large kalim, the entire animal is in that chatzah. In fact, the Pesach Tshuva says that the minig, if there's a place not to have the minig of folding the get before it's deposited in the woman's hand, we don't have to worry, the get is acceptable, fine. Shantmina, but now says the Gemara, by suggesting that we could put the animal, the elephant, on these four kalim, and we'll have a kinyan chatzur, we see from here, the animal is standing in the rishus of the seller. Shouldn't this be a raya, the kalim of shalakeach, that we bring the kalim of the buyer into the rishus meicher, into the area that's owned by the meicher, kana lekeach, which is a question that's debated in many places in Shas. So the Gemara, the animal isn't in the Rishus Meicher. It could well be that Kalev Shalakeach Rishus Meicher is not Koina. Hachem Ma'eskinen, it's talking about a simta in an area off the Rishus Rabbim that doesn't belong not to the Meicher nor to the Lekeach. As the Paiskim discussed, the Shas Chus B'Tzel Chachma, discussing this concept of Kalev Shalakeach Rishus Meicher, discusses the question like this. In many cities, the city gives a large garbage dump in which people bring their garbage from their homes and put it into that garbage. It's left on the property of the person. So let's say there's such a garbage dump on my property, and it's Erev Pesach at this man when I'm not allowed to have chametz in my property anymore. Do we have a concern here or not? So the Paiskim want to suggest, since isn't this a situation of Kalev Shalakeach, the garbage dump owned by the city, Rishus Meicher, my property, which may be an issue because I'm not allowed to have chametz on my property. So the Paiskim, the Shalz Tshuva B'Tzel Chachma says, since I give Rishus to the city to put this garbage dump on my property, it's certainly considered the rishus of the lekeach, and there is no problem if there's chametz in that garbage receptacle. Inami, the Gemara gives us one more way of how to do a kinyan hagbah on an elephant, b'chavil zmeiros. So where Rashi and Tosfos explain is that bundles of zmeiros, of vines, are put in front of the elephant, and then he steps up on top of them, and we have hagbah. There's only machloikus Rashi and Tosfos, how high must the hagbah be? Rashi says the hagbah must be 3 tefachim. The Rebbeinu Tam says that 1 tefach is adequate. But then I saw another pshat in the Rishonim, what is pshat in chavil zmeiros? What they suggest is that chavil zmeiros is the food that was served to the animal, and that food is thrown up in front of the animal, and the animal jumps to catch the food, and since the animal jumps because I threw the food in front of him, we now have an effective kinyan hagbah.